Word proclaimed, may you give us your spirit to understand your word, to know your salvation. And Lord, may you take away all distraction, may you take away all weariness and drowsiness, and turn our hearts to your word, to your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, be with me, give me the words to speak. Lord, be with our hearts. Give us open hearts, open to you, open to the gospel, to the good news of your salvation. Lord, we pray with confidence for Jesus' name. Amen. If you open the Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 55, open your Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 5. We use these words for a call to worship. We will look more closely at them. This is the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. This is the word of the Lord. As I said, my plan here is to go through our bulletin and just look at different areas of our worship and why we do what we do. Now, I'm not going to preach directly on what is the call to worship, but I'm going to, we're going to take passages from the Bible and we're going to look at those passages and see what God says to us through those passages. And we're going to ask basically some questions in regard to application of how these passages can be applied to our lives. And this evening, we're going to be looking at the call to worship. And we're going to be asking the questions, what is the call to worship? Why do we have a call to worship? And we're going to use Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 5, and see how God speaks to us and how God directs our lives to the relevance of a call to worship in our bulletins and in our worship. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 55 and we'll ask these questions. What is the call to worship? Why do we have a call to worship? And as we jump into a passage here, we are jumping into a passage that is a familiar passage, but it's also in the book of Isaiah and it's near the end of the book. And we're jumping into the middle of the book, more like closer to the end of this book here. So Isaiah begins off his book, for the most part, speaking about God's judgment against his people. And then he moves on to judgment against the foreign nations as Isaiah goes on. And eventually Isaiah gets into the last part of the book. He's speaking about future blessings to God's people. And we have this theme of a suffering servant woven throughout this last part of Isaiah. And we come into chapter 55 in that section. Isaiah speaking of future blessings for God's people and telling us of the mystery of this suffering servant, which is alluding to Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at this passage right here in 3 points. And we're going to see through these 3 points. The 3 points would be come. Hear, and then guarantee. So these 3 points that we're going to be looking at are come, hear, and guarantee. As we look at these 3 points, we're asking ourselves, what is the call to worship and why do we have a call to worship? So first in this passage, we have come. You can see that In our Bibles, there's the word come there in our pew Bibles four times. It's more likely three times in the Hebrew language. So there's 3 points to the first point. It's a very good Reformed sermon. I have 3 points within a three-point sermon. So you can't get any more Reformed than that. But verse 1 says, come. And that could be translated, behold, right? All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money, without costs. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor and what does not satisfy? It says, come to the waters. God offers water to the thirsty, right? All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. This is the most basic human need, is the need for water, need to drink. And you can probably, you probably know that feeling, especially as the weather starts warming up and the heat, humidity come out. You need to have water. You need to have that, just to keep your body running. Without water, we die. Isaiah is speaking about salvation. He's speaking about life here. Salvation coming to God's people. Water is always connected to life in the Bible. Without water, there's death. And we see Isaiah's suffering servant imagery here coming to life. And it comes to life even more in the New Testament when you have John 7, verse 37. Jesus stands up at the Feast of Booths and he cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Right? So that first come here is that offer of life. Come, you are thirsty. Come to the water. And we can see that come alive in the New Testament with Jesus Christ, where he stands up at a feast where they're celebrating, they're wandering in the wilderness and they're being brought into the promised land. And Jesus stands up and says, come to me and drink and have life. So this offer of coming is for salvation. And we have that offer to us through Jesus Christ, coming to him for salvation. The second come there, you have you who have no money, come, buy and eat. So you come, eat. When you're in poverty, when you do not have money to pay, you do not have money to pay the basic needs, you don't have money to provide food. Well, God, through Isaiah here, God offers basic food. Come, eat. Isaiah's imagery here comes to life even more so in the New Testament again. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. The third come there, come, buy wine and milk. This highlights God's offer of richness, right? Of plenty. Wine and milk are not something essential, but they're a luxury. God offers plenty. Look what the angel describes in Revelation 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's a feast, right? It's a feast put on by Jesus, and we are the bride, and we're overwhelmed by plenty. That's what a feast is, by definition, is plenty. We'd have wine, milk. So you have the come who are thirsty, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk. And you have to think this is really not an invitation, right? Especially when you think of those first two comes. Come, you are thirsty. If you're in the desert and I saw a cartoon one time and it had a guy skinny as anything. His clothes were all raggedy and he's climbing his way through the desert. And there's a sign for a church that says the Living Water Church or something like that. And he's like, ugh. Right? Be like a sign for that church saying, come, you who are thirsty. And it's speaking about our physical need for thirst, but it's more than that. It's the need for life. So this isn't really an invitation. It's really a command. Come. I provide water. Come to me. I provide food. Come to me. I provide abundance. And it's a really marvelous thing. It's an invitation to those in need to give them what they need and more. Thirsty people need water. Hungry people need food. And God provides plenty of both. God provides, you'll notice that there is a cost there. We have that mention of buying. There's a cost to providing food, milk, wine. God offers come, you who have no money. Right? He still says, come. He still says, buy and eat. The people without money are called to come and yet still buy. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Now, it's without cost, but there still is a cost. That's why the buying is still there. Jesus says, come to me and drink, come to me and eat, come to me and have plenty. But really, he's the one to pay the cost. So it has no cost to you coming to him. Jesus tells us, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and he remains in me and I in him. Jesus laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. His blood was poured out and his body was dead. So that when we put our faith in him as God, who rose from the dead, who lives forever, we're united to him. We do not have the means to buy this wine and bread that Jesus talks about because we are sinners. Our sin has offended God, separated us from him forever. And it's impossible for us to fill that gap. And Jesus has life eternal. He lived a perfect life in perfect harmony with God. Why? Because he's sinless, because he's God. He was perfect. That means you could say that he had the water of life, the bread of life. That's why he calls himself living water, the bread of life. That's why Jesus can say, come to me and eat my flesh, drink my blood. Or you could phrase it in Isaiah's terms here. Come buy bread from me, wine from me, which you don't have, but which I invite you to come and partake of me, to believe in me as the Savior from sin. And Jesus buys life for us, you could say, in his death. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we were bought at a price. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Galatians 3 verse 13, which we read this morning, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He bought us out of sin by becoming sin for us. So we can ask, what is a call to worship then? And we use these words from Isaiah chapter 55. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy, eat, come buy wine and milk. Well, the call to worship is God's call to you and I, telling us you don't have what you need. You are lovers of self, lovers of sin. You do not have life on your own, because sin brings death, Romans 5 says. And God speaks to us through the call to worship and says, come to me, because I've given you what you need. I give you living water. I spread out a feast before you. So why do we have a call to worship? Well, we have a call to worship because we do not have money. We don't have water. We are full of sin. We're poor. We're weak. We're helpless. If you have no money in your bank account, if you're broke, no cash on you, and you can think of maybe the nicest restaurant that you can think of, the fanciest one, would you walk in the front door and ask to be seated, knowing that you don't have any money? That'd be pretty brave. I don't think I would do that. It'd be very embarrassing, for one thing, when you get that check. Why even bother going? Well, God calls you and I, who have no money. We have no righteousness of ourselves. We have no place in his presence, because God is a holy God. And a holy God cannot have sin in his presence. But God calls us to him, to worship him, to give us what we lack. We are sinners, and he pays our debt of death and gives us his righteousness. He gives us the feast we celebrated this morning. He gives us the assurance of salvation. That's how God calls us to him. Come, you who are thirsty. We are thirsty. And God calls us and says, I have water, come to me. And you'll notice that he's taking the initiative. We don't even realize we're thirsty. We don't realize that what we need is salvation from sin. And he offers that. Our second point here is listen. Again, we have three verbs of listening. We have listen, give ear, and hear me. Verse 2 says listen, listen. It's repeated twice for emphasis. Focus on what is to be heard. Eat what is good. And verse 2 asks, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? He says, listen, eat what is good. In other words, why do you waste your time on other things? Why do you waste your time on TV? Why do you waste your time on baseball and basketball and hockey? I'm sure many here don't waste their time on hockey. But why do you waste your time on Instagram, on TikTok, on Amazon, just on your phone? Why do you waste your money on things that don't fill you up? None of those things offer us a sustenance. They don't give you waters of life. They don't give you bread from heaven. That's why you need to go to those things over and over and over again. That's why in our sin we go to those things to fill the void in our lives. That's why maybe we keep turning over and over to Amazon to buy something to fill. What do you waste your time on? What do you waste your money on? I can tell you, whenever you are with God's people under God's word, under the preaching of God's word, it is not a waste. And these are the words of life that we are opening, that we are hearing proclaimed. Verse 3 is the second listen. Give ear and come to me. This is a deliberate act in a response to listening. When God said, come to the waters, here he says, come to me. Just like Jesus stood up in John 7 and cried out, come to me and drink. When we hear God speak, we listen, obey. God tells you, brothers and sisters, to come to him. Just as you came this morning to the Lord's table, partook of the bread and the wine, partook of Jesus Christ himself as we read his word, as you hear it spoken now. The words of Scripture are more life-giving than any bread that you can eat. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we take that bread into our mouths, that's signifying us taking Christ into ourselves, believing in him, becoming one with him through Jesus Christ, died for us, that his life was given so that our sin is paid for. His life was given so that we have his righteousness bestowed upon us. Come to me, he says. Give ear and come to me. The third listen that we have here says, hear me, that your soul may live. Brothers and sisters, when God speaks, there are words of life. We call the word of God living because that is what it is. That is what it does. It gives life. The message of the gospel is the message of your salvation. Jesus Christ was born in human likeness, suffered under sin, died for our sins, but was raised from the dead. When you put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, you have life eternal. So again, we can ask that question. What is the call to worship in light of these listen, give ear, hear me? Well, it's God's call to sinners to come to him. But it's also a command. It's a command to listen to God's word because it gives life. When we ignore it, we are ignoring the way to life. When we reject hearing God's word, we are in danger of hell. And maybe we can do that by coming to church with the intent to just get a solid nap in. Maybe we do that by not even coming to church for some other reason. Maybe we do that during the week by leaving our Bible closed. We are not listening to God's word. We're not giving ear to it. We're not hearing it. These are the words of life. Why do we have a call to worship? God commands us to hear Him because He knows what we need. We need those words, those living words of life. It's a loving command because He knows we need life. Now, we do waste our time. What is it that we waste our time and money on? Listen to God's command and come into His presence. And those things we waste our time on, they will begin to fade away. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever, 1 John 2:17 says. When we hear God's living word, those desires will fade away. Those desires that we have for wasting our time will fade away. The third point, we have a guarantee, promises. And again, we have three guarantees or three promises. It's a very good Reformed sermon, a picturesque Reformed sermon. 3 points and 3 points in each. In each point, we have a covenant promise here. We have a kingly promise here, and we have a Lord promise here. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has endowed you with splendor. We looked at this invitation, come, come, come. We heard the invitation, listen, give ear, hear me. Those invitations and listenings are guaranteed here by the covenant promise. That covenant promise, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is the covenant promise. God promised Abraham to bless him, to make him a great nation, to bless all the nations through him. Genesis 15, 17. God made a promise to Israel through Moses, furthering this covenant. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. God made a covenant with David in 2 Samuel 7 that his line would rule forever. And this is the confidence we have that God invites us to come to him, that he will speak to us, that he has promised to be our God, to bless us. He's promised to be our God and to bless us. He's entered into covenant with us. The second promise or guarantee is through a relationship with, speaks about the royal line, right? The Davidic line. It will never run out. God will rule over his people and never leave them. And we can come to God and hear him because he has placed Jesus Christ on the eternal throne. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in him everything might, well, he might have supremacy in everything. Colossians 1:17. So that promise given in 2 Samuel 7 to David that he would have a king on the throne forever is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ rules forever. In him all things hold together and have their being. He is the supremacy. And we can know what he offers. Life, abundance, and guaranteed because he's our king. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus Christ, and through him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things in heaven and earth by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1:19. Nothing in heaven on earth can displace King Jesus. Nothing. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. This is a leader that cannot be thwarted by human interference, by human government. You hear protests against churches happening. King Jesus is on the throne. Nothing can interfere. No natural catastrophe can be big enough to thwart his kingly rule. This leader summons nations from all over the world. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. To this leader, this king. In John 12, we have there's Greeks that are coming to Jesus to hear him, to know him. Jesus' ministry started attracting outsiders, right? Jesus came preaching to Jews, and yet in John 12, Greeks are starting to come to him. And that's a significant turn in his ministry, as when Jesus Christ starts heading to the cross. Matthew 20, we see that was the task assigned to the church, right? To go make disciples of all nations, from every tribe, tongue, and people on the earth. Isaiah verses. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Led by Jesus Christ as King. For the third guarantee and promise is the Lord himself who assures that this will happen. End of verse 5. And nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Why? Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. The Lord himself will be the power in which this work is guaranteed. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's speaking to his disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Acts 2, we hear the Holy Spirit rushing in upon them as they're hiding in their room, upper room. And they go out into the streets and proclaim Jesus Christ in many tongues because the Holy Spirit is upon them. The Lord himself is working in them to guarantee this promise. That his salvation will go out and call nations that don't know him. And these three promises guaranteed our assurance of God's calling for us to come to him. And God's very words to us were guaranteed because of the covenant. God promised to be our God. We are guaranteed because of the King who reigns on high, King Jesus. Not even death can dethrone him. Actually, in death he was throned. Exalted above everything else. We are guaranteed because God himself works in you through his Spirit in this world to gather his people from all nations, languages, tongues. So again, why do we have a call to worship? Well, these guarantees give us a sure confidence to come before God, to hear his word, and to know that what he says goes. He promises life. He promises living water. And that is assured for us through Jesus Christ. We have life. Why do we have the call to worship? Because we are proclaiming the call of God to the world. God promises to gather peoples from every nation, every tribe, language, and tongue. And he says, come. All you are thirsty. You don't even know if you're thirsty. Those you don't even know need life. Come to me. Receive life. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. You say, why do you waste your time on other things? Come to me. Come here where you hear God's word proclaimed, where you have life everlasting. Come. Christ says. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who comes to broken sinners, weak, pathetic sinners, and you call us into your presence when we don't deserve it. And you give us everything that we need. You call us into the feast and you clothe us in your righteousness so that we can be in your presence, so that we can exalt you for what you have done, so that we can see what you have done for us in laying your life down to give us life, so that we can see the sin in our lives and how repulsive that is to you. And Lord, you have paid for that all so that we can be in your presence. Lord, you are an awesome and you are a good God. We thank you that you have called us to be your people, that you have called us together into your presence to give you praise and glory and honor. Accept our praise and honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song response is number 29B, Now Unto Jehovah, Ye Sons of the Mighty. Number 29B, we'll stand and sing.